is the Beersmith Home Brewing Show, where brewing great beer is our passion. If you want to take your brewing to the next level, visit beersmith.com, where you can download a trial version of our Beersmith software, subscribe to the newsletter, and get dozens of free articles on home brewing. And now, your host and the author of Home Brewing with Beersmith, Brad Smith.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Beersmith Podcast number 50. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Saison. Obviously, this is a pretty significant milestone. We reached podcast number 50. Wasn't sure if we were ever going to get here. And 2013 is also going to be a special year. It's going to be the 10th year anniversary of me starting Beersmith. And actually, it's going to be the third year that I've been doing this full time. And I'd like to just take a moment to thank you for all of your support. I really appreciate it. And now, without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. Today on the show, my guest is Nathan Smith. He is an award-winning homebrewer and frequent guest on the Brewing Network. And Nathan, it's fantastic to have you back on the show.
Thanks for the invite, Brad. I appreciate it.
And you're here for episode number 50, which is a huge milestone.
Congratulations.
Never thought we'd get to 50, actually.
To another 50 after this. Yeah. Pretty soon you'll be at 100, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So anyways, we're going to talk a little about Saison today, and which we also call, I guess, farmhouse ale. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a commonly referred to in slang as farmhouse ale, which is an appropriate term for the beer. It's a beer I've enjoyed doing a lot of homebrewing over the last 6 months, so should be really fun to talk about today.
So why don't we start with a little bit of the history? Can you tell us a little bit about the history of Saison?
Yeah, history of Saison is really interesting. It's the indigenous local beer of the Hainaut, the French-speaking province in Wallonia, which is in southern Belgium. It's really the farmer's homebrew, or barn brew, if you will. It's something in history that the farmers had to do, another task to be completed on the farm. They didn't necessarily want to brew beer, but it was pretty much essential to running a farm. And farmers would brew this traditionally 2 times a year during periods of rest for the farmers, during Advent in March and in November, just after the harvest. And coincidentally, also the hop harvest, which is one reason why I think this tends to be not a hoppy style by American IPA standards, but a fairly hoppy style by Belgian standards. And it was a beer designed for the storage and keeping. It was designed to have a good storage ability and keeping properties, because it was used to fortify and refresh the farm workers during the summer. So the farmers would brew this beer in the fall and in the spring, and then serve it to the farm workers that they brought in during the summer and in the harvest. And we think about that as sort of maybe a fun thing that the workers on the farm could have as a break, but it was really more than that. It was, Saison was really the main hydration source for seasonal workers. It was meant to be refreshing and invigorating and safe when water wasn't necessarily safe to drink. And there's some nice historical records that farm workers were probably drinking up to about 5 liters a day of Saison on many farms in historical southern Belgium. And we think that maybe they're just hammered walking around the fields trying to do their work, but really this beer in history was probably only about 2.5% in alcohol. And I kind of like this maybe vision of the farm workers, the seasonal farm workers showing up on a farm in Belgium, and the farmer kind of handing them a shovel and saying, hey, your Saison's in the corner of the field. I brewed it last spring. You have to go and dig it up if you want something to drink. So
pretty light beer.
Yeah, pretty light beer, and something that workers would need to drink in quantity, and not something that the farmers would necessarily take a lot of extra pride in brewing, but definitely probably enjoyed brewing it as a compliment to the work around the farm. Yeah, very light beer in the 1800s, probably OG of 1025 to 1036, whereas in 1900s, the commercial examples that are a little bit more documented are on the 1040 to 1050 range. So really interesting variation of ingredients historically in Saison. Every type of cereal grain that was grown in the farm was used in historical Saison, and a lot of variability in the yeast pitch. Farmers are probably saving and repitching yeast from farm to farm. It was a shared task among farmers in the region, and they collaborated as much as possible to make the beer. And up until World War I, for example, majority of Saisons were fermented in unpitched wooden barrels. You can imagine the beer taking on a wild character as a result of that. Some of that's continued on to this day. And really, World War II really changed historical Saison and really brought in the era of modernization.
So in what way? In what way did it change things?
farmhand tradition and farmhouse brewery tradition really disappeared during World War II. And I don't have any hard facts about why, but you can kind of theorize that. I mean, Belgium was, of course, in the crosshairs of conflict in World War II, and probably a lot of the farmhouse breweries were ravaged for metal and parts and other stuff. And so that destroyed the brewery side of it, and just modernization that after the post-World War II era ushered in probably changed the whole dynamics of running a farm in Belgium. And it's kind of interesting to think about. We're sort of diving back into history, re-getting into this style for American brewers and craft brewers. It's kind of a cool snapshot of what it could have been.
Yeah. Now, Saison is not a beer that's really taken off in the microbrew industry yet. I mean, there's some examples, but not many. So can you describe the taste and character of the beer for people who may not be familiar with it?
Sure. Let's look at the BJCP style guidelines, the 2008 version of those style guidelines, for example, first. And you look at the vital statistics there for Saison, and it has original gravity of 1048 to about 1065, and a finishing gravity of 1002 to 1012. IBUs in the 20 to 35 range, and SRM maximum of about 14, pretty light colored beer, ABV in the 5 to 7 range. So really a refreshing mediums to strong ale with a distinctive orange color. I have a sample here, report of a homebrewed Saison. You can see that slight orange color that it has a little bit. It's classic for Saison, and really meant to be a highly carbonated, well-hopped beer with a dry, quenching quality, very yeast-driven beer. Yeast is very important to making a Saison as we sort of think of them now. And the information I kind of want to present for people interested in brewing the style will be focused on homebrewers getting started using the classics, the Saison DuPonts and what have you, as sort of a guideline. I mean, you talk to 10 different brewers in Belgium that would make Saison, they'll probably have 10 different answers of what Saison really is. And that's kind of the beauty of it, is there's a wide open range, but there really is a set list of things that you should sort of think about it with the beer and its purpose in history. Yvonne Debates, a famous beer historian and brewer in Belgium, says a beer can't really be called authentic Saison unless it represents certain characteristics that are connected with Saison's purpose in history. It should be meant to refresh and sustain hard work or farm work, ideally. Fairly low in alcohol, 4.5 to 6.5%. Highly attenuated, 90 or 95% of the sugar is consumed by the yeast. So very dry, and significant bitterness from a big dose of low alpha acid hops. You're thinking like noble type hops. We'll get into the exact hops later, but and that it should have. I really like this quote that he talks about. Authentic Saison should have a wild side, a rustic or indefinable. Far from the clean, highly engineered aspects of industrial lagers. And I think that's one reason why it really kind of appeals to the modern palate of the craft beer drinker and the homebrew enthusiast, is that it's so far from so many of the beers that were the only beers you could find 30 or 40 years ago. It has this undefinable magic or character to it because it has some of that variation from brewery to brewery. The classic commercial examples of this style would be Saison DuPont, the glass I showed just a minute ago, is a classic Saison DuPont glass. Notice that it's a little bit different than this, for example, this Saint Foyon stemmed glassware from Belgium. Kind of a nod to maybe the farmhouse or sort of the simpler side of this beer's history. Saison Avril, or the BO beer, is a low ABV version of this style. And the beer, there's various Saisons from Blaugis and Vapour. Those are probably some excellent examples that you could think of as classic examples of Saison, as well as sort of the more modern interpretations of strong alcohol Saison, super Saison, or Avec le Bon Vaux from DuPont, as well as Moignette to some degree. So that's kind of an overview of Saison as it is understood today. Slightly different than the historical Saison, but not all that far off the mark compared to these basic parameters of a dry, refreshing, thirst-quenching beer. It's a great one for homebrewers to take on as a summer drinking beer for that.
One of the things that caught my attention is you mentioned historically, 2.5% alcohol, and here we're looking at probably something more than double that with a modern variant.
Why is that? You think about Saison DuPont as being almost, 5 or 6% alcohol. It's pretty interesting. Some of that is just modernization of brewing techniques in commercial beer in Belgium. a lot of beer increased in alcohol after World War II, and there are a lot of theories for that. And I think Saison was definitely a beer that had followed suit. And the transition of the beer from a simple farmhouse or table beer that would be served on the farm to the farm workers, as opposed to a beer that would be sold in the commercial beer market in Belgium. I think it's really interesting to try and take a step back in history as a home brewer, though, and do a very light in alcohol, very much a table beer version of this. We'll get into that in a little more detail in a bit, but you'll be surprised at how much classic Saison character you can get out of a 2.5 to 3% alcohol Saison without all the alcohol. So it's a really cool style to experiment with a historical version like that.
Well, let's move on to actually brewing a Saison. You know, what would you start with basically for the grain bill? Let's start with that.
Yeah, the Saison is a really interesting history in terms of grain bill. You know, historically, almost anything could go into the beer. Farmers would use whatever they had on hand, spelt, buckwheat, oats, wheat, rye, as well as straight malted wheat. But I think to get started with this style, and one way in which I've found success and satisfaction in brewing this on the homebrew level is sticking to kind of the Saison DuPont style of brewing this beer, which is 100% Pilsner malt. And you can start with a great Pilsner malt from Belgium, like Castle Pils or Dingemans, or even a German Pilsner like Weiermann would be a great starting point for this type of beer, with the option of doing maybe 2 to 5% Munich or Vienna malt that'll help achieve that classic orange color with a slight amount of toastiness. Be careful about using too many of those type of melanoid-enriched, more toasty malts. It will start to perhaps conflict with the yeast character that you want to build for this beer. Mm-hmm. But a lot of, that's one of the reasons why I think people have a lot of fun with this beer, though, is you do have a lot of latitude in blending in spelt or wheat or oats to give the beer some interesting mouthfeel and taste characteristics. The only range of malts I wouldn't recommend so much for a Saison would probably be crystal malts or dextrin malts, things like Carapils or Caraviana or you know, Crystal 40, things like that will be not so fermentable and interfere with the whole dryness concept that we want to build around this beer.
They'll probably add caramel flavors too, which you probably don't want. Yeah.
Exactly. You want the yeast to sort of dominate the flavor profile, with hops in a very significant supporting role, but definitely not a crystal or caramel malt type flavor. Although it is interesting, historical Saison was brewed for many hours, not necessarily to develop caramel character, but that was probably a side effect of brewing it that way. And the thought was that the longer that you brewed it, the longer storage ability the beer would have. So people who want to do maybe an interesting nod to history could get some slight kettle caramelization through a long boil, but you wouldn't want to add something like crystal malt to the beer. Dark grains can also be employed for a creative variation on the style. I would consider mastering a classic pale or orange-colored Saison first before you go in that direction, but there's some really interesting American craft beer interpretations that do use a little bit of dark grains.
So just summarize, 100% Pilsner malts, good place to start.
100% Pilsner malts. With
a little, bit of Vienna or Munich, right?
Yeah, and then maybe up to 20 to 30% of sort of the protein-rich grains, as I might call them, something like oats or wheat or rye could be used, and up to that amount, but be careful going too much past that. You could stick the mash. Simple sugars can be used for this as an adjunct to sort of drive attenuation as well. And for the extract brewers, there's some great Pilsner malt extracts on the market these days. So don't feel left out if you're just an extract brewer and don't necessarily have access to some of these other ways of mashing things too.
Adding 30% wheat or oats or something like that, you have to worry about clarity. I mean, is that an issue with this beer?
Definitely. It's a really good point you bring that up too, is there's some haze is acceptable in a beer like this. You'll notice one of these homebrewed examples I have right here is a little bit of haze to it. And even a classic excellent bottle of Saison DuPont will have a little bit of haze to it. So some amount of haze is acceptable, and you're definitely going to get a little bit more of that if you brew with some of these protein rich grains like wheat, for example, or rye. Yeah.
Well, what about hops? What flavor, you know, what varieties do you prefer? How much, when do you add them?
Hops are really critical to this style. Thinking back, you know, to the historical times in which Saison is brewed right after the harvest. That's one of my personal theories on why hops are used in such quantities in brewing Saison historically, as well as this notion of let's create something that'll have good aging potential. And varieties that would be used for classic Saison would be, let's think about using Kent Goldings or Styrian Goldings or Brewer's Gold. Those are probably the three most classic examples of hops that are used in the production of modern commercial Saison in Wallonia. But you could also do things like, I'm really a fan of using Hallertau, German Hallertau in particular, for bittering Saison. Mm. And Styrian Goldings is an excellent flavor addition. It's got this really interesting fruity orange marmalade type of character that plays so nicely into the
more spicy, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So nicely into the esters that are brought to the table through traditional Saison yeasts. And I also like, this isn't very traditional by the standards of folks like DuPont, but I also like using Saz as a flame out addition. I think it drives some nice peppery, slightly flowery notes in the beer that goes so nicely with the yeast. Yeah, but you want a moderate to firm bitterness. So think about getting somewhere at least between 20 and 30 IBUs with a strong hop flavor and hop aroma. So don't be afraid to use a significant amount of hops in middle addition or flame out. And I'm talking up to maybe 2 ounces per 5 gallons. For a low alpha hop, that flame out wouldn't be such a bad idea. So target up to 35 IBU. And we'll get into a little bit into water a little bit later, but that plays into how you're going to bitter a beer like this as well. Fairly hard water, fairly sulfite driven water will give you it will help drive a clean bitterness and a crisp finish to the beer.
Gives you that dry finish, right?
Yeah, that'll really help play into that as well. We'll talk a little bit more about hop bursting for this style later too, which is something that's a cool variation on what could be done. And in addition to hops, spices are sometimes used for this style. And it's worth mentioning, traditionally, maybe spices like coriander, orange peel, ginger, star anise, or grains of paradise, or maybe even cumin. Start with maybe 1 to 2 grams maximum per 5 gallons, though, if you want to experiment with some of those spices. It's sort of a nod to Saison was probably supplemented with gruet, or the idea of brewing with gruet as opposed to hops carried into the era of brewing Saison on the farm, at least historically. So yeah, to kind of summarize, nice firm bitterness in the 20 to 30 IBU range. Consider noble hops as most of the hops that you would use for driving bitterness, as well as very important classic varieties like Kent Goldings, Styrian Goldings, or Brewer's Gold.
Are you adding those as a single hop addition, single bittering addition, or are you
fitting
it in phases?
You could do just one bittering addition with the Saison to keep it nice and simple. And I think that was a great way to start. But the classic homebrewer bittering and then flavor addition with 30 minutes left in the boil and then a flame out addition, I think is probably one of the best ways to go with a slightly more complex hop bill, but nothing too crazy. And it's worth mentioning too, some brewers, and I've seen some interesting commercial examples of this in the United States recently, Citra and Sirachi Ace, like the Sirachi Ace from Brooklyn, they're really interesting Saison with that hop. You can use hops that drive a little bit more tropical fruit, or maybe lemon or lemon zest is an interesting variation on Saison. But once again, I would consider mastering some of the basics of this style first with the classic more noble or English hop varieties before going too far in that direction.
Are you dry hopping? I assume not, right?
Question. You can dry hop too, but I would not dry hop very aggressively, maybe a 1/2 ounce per 5 gallons at a maximum. But go real easy with dry hopping and consider something noble again, maybe something like Saz as well, or maybe Styrian Goldings, not so noble, but a really interesting classic Saison hop that would play into yeast character. But yeah, be careful with doing too much, and it is an interesting option for sure.
Okay, what about brewing techniques you might use, including the mash schedule?
Yeah, the mash schedule is a really important aspect of brewing an all-grain Saison. Favor the beta amylase side of mashing, which would be the range in about 143 to 150. It's a great way to get started in mashing this style, just with a simple single infusion mash in that range, I think will do you well if you're just starting with Saison, do 100% pills right in that range for about 90 minutes, maybe mash slightly longer than normal because the activity of beta amylase will be slightly slower at lower rates. So consider mashing up to about 90 minutes if you're only doing 60 normally. But it is worth mentioning, if you read great books like Phil Murkowski's Farmhouse Ales book, he'll talk a lot about how Saison is brewed at places like Saison DuPont with step mashing, and a lot of people who are reviving the style in Belgium brew with step mashing, and that's something that is worth playing with on this style to do protein rest, and then you'll want to do a sacrification rest in this same beta amylase type of range, and then a mash out. But I think a single infusion mash is a great way to do this type of beer to get started with it at the, you know, and it's very simplest, especially if you're using unmalted grains or semi-malted grains as a historical version of this style. You want to make sure that you're careful to preserve the enzymes that you would get from something like your Pilsner malt to help drive the conversion of the starch from those unmalted grains. So yeah, Matt, in summary, then mash for attenuation and a simple single infusion mash favoring beta amylase is sort of the way to go for a Saison.
So at the low end of the temperature range.
Exactly. Yeah.
Any other brewing techniques that are special here?
I think your boil is worth mentioning too. Okay. That if you're thinking about doing this beer with 100% Pilsner malt, 100% Pilsner malt will give you quite a bit of SMM and then ultimately potentially DMS, which you create in the boil. So you want to make sure to boil the beer for 60 at least, but probably more like 75 to 90 minutes. The half-life of SMM in boiling liquid is supposedly about 75 minutes. So if you boil for 90 minutes, that should help convert all that SMM into DMS and then volatilize it off of the kettle. So
right. DMS is dimethyl sulfide, right?
Yeah, dimethyl sulfide.
Which gives you a pretty strong sulfur flavor or aroma.
Sulfur cooked corn or creamed corn is the way some people describe it. And that's something that would be pretty unpalatable in a Saison or any beer for that matter. And it's something you definitely want to get out during your boil.
It's a common issue with many lagers too. And as you point out, boiling for a longer time, say 90 minutes, really helps control that.
Yeah, absolutely, Brad. And doing Pilsner malt probably has more potential to create DMS than almost any other malt that brewers would commonly use. So it's worth mentioning as a warning in this context. That's probably one important thing to remember for the boil, but hop additions would be pretty standard in terms of method and that type of thing for this beer.
Okay. Now you mentioned how special yeast is often used. Can you talk about what yeast varieties are best for this beer?
Yeah, definitely. Yeast strain choice is probably the most important aspect of brewing a really good Saison. When you're thinking about ingredient selection, make sure that you're getting the right yeast to start with. And one that's a really good place to start, although it is tricky one to work with, the classic DuPont strain, or what we've been told is perhaps DuPont strain. The manufacturers don't publish this, but we have a good indication that it probably is.
So where do you get that? Which one is that?
Probably the most appropriate one to start with. And that one is White Labs WLP565 or 3724.
From Y yeast, right?
Y yeast 3724. Right. Both of the strains are apparently the classic DuPont strain. And that is a really great place to start. We'll get into fermentation techniques and why that yeast is a little bit tricky here in a bit, but consider starting with those and make yourself a big active pitch of those yeasts and do a starter and get that going in the beer when you pitch, and you'll have a pretty good experience working with that yeast, I think. And one reason why yeast is so important for this beer is it's really a yeast-driven style. Most of the critical flavors in this beer are coming from the yeast, pepper, spicy black pepper, or fruity ale yeast esters like apricot or bubblegum are really important aspects of what that Saison yeast is going to kick out during fermentation. And one thing to note is that you can perhaps play around with other straight Trappist-style Belgian yeasts to do a Saison, but the One of the issues in doing that is you'll get higher phenols with those strains than you would for a classic Saison strain. The classic Saison strains will kick out less phenols than other typical Belgian yeast, which is important to having this beer work well with the amount of hops that we're really talking about in this fairly hop forward style for Belgian beer.
And clean finish too.
Yeah, exactly. Clean finish as well. Phenols will really start to take over a beer, especially a yeast-driven beer, pretty quickly. It's also worth mentioning some great yeast alternatives, as well as the WLP 565 or 3724 from Y Yeast, and that is White Labs really has a nice strain called WLP 566 Saison 2. People have found that one a little easier to work with than the classic 565, so that's worth mentioning as well. Also sell a variety called 568, which is a blend, and that's also in some ways a little bit easier to work with as well. One other one from Y Yeast I want to mention too is the Y Yeast 3711. That's one of the ones I have in front of us is from then. One I just started experimenting with this variation, and that's the French Saison strain. It has, I think, in some ways, even lower phenols than the classic DuPont strain, and has some really nice, interesting yeast esters. So that's a interesting alternative to people who maybe want something different than some of the standard flavor profiles here. But yeah, that's yeast is very critical for the style, so yeast selection is an important consideration.
And you mentioned some of these are hard to work with. So let's talk a little about fermentation and why these are sometimes a challenge.
Yeah, one of the reasons why, this is one of my favorite theories about Saison yeast, and this has not been fully substantiated, but is a nice piece of folklore, and why this yeast is so different and special, is that the classic Saison DuPont strain, Le Perkins from Y Yeast observed this strain and said it acts a little bit more like a red wine strain. And so one of the theories about this strain is that it's a mutated red wine yeast, and that it's mutated enough that it can ferment Malto Trios, which is something that a lot of red wine yeasts can't typically ferment, but is very common in a beer or a malted barley beverage. So thinking about how different it must be in working with a wine strain than a beer yeast is kind of a good starting point in approaching this yeast. So interesting tidbit from Neva Parker from White Labs too, during the National Homebrewers Conference this year in 2012, she talked about how the classic DuPont strain has higher oxygen requirements than a typical ale strain as well. So before you even pitch this yeast, consider oxygenating for about twice the amount of time that you would do normally. And another footnote to that is too, there's also high nutrient requirements for this strain. So consider adding maybe double the amount of yeast nutrient that you might normally use, but definitely don't forget adding yeast nutrient. If you don't necessarily want to add double, make sure you would use it. But
so you mentioned adding oxygen. What's the best way to add oxygen, you think?
Pure O2 with a stone, if you have the ability to do that, is probably the best way, especially for this type of yeast, which is a little bit more picky. But you could use a pump or shake to oxygenate too. I don't want to discourage people who don't have the equipment from brewing or trying this style, but O2 is critical to getting this yeast healthy and up and going. And along with a big O2 requirement, fermentation temperature is also really critical for the Saison strain. Consider pitching. I like pitching a little bit low, and this is something that brewers like Tommy Arthur have talked a little bit about too. Another great guy who's revived the popularity of Saison in American craft brewing to some degree. Consider pitching low, maybe about 68 degrees, and allow the beer to free rise up into the low to mid 70s. And I like holding the beer there at the peak of that free rise, maybe at about 73 to 75.
Wow. With
a firm wrap or a blanket.
That's pretty warm though for an ale. Yeah,
exactly. Pretty warm and a little bit scary for some home brewers to go that high. And it sometimes cannot even stop there. One of these beers in front of me, this one in the DuPont glass, my clone of the Super Saison, Avec Le Bon Vaux, fermented that at 95 degrees. And you
95
degrees? 95
degrees,
yeah. I let it ramp up on its own, and then slowly brought it up to 95 degrees and let it ferment out. And if you read books like Farmhouse Ales, they'll talk about how DuPont and their attitude towards fermentation is maybe a little bit more like a winemaker, you know, sort of hearkening back to this theory about the DuPont strain being a red wine yeast. And with the idea of winemakers thinking about that primary ferment of let's just get this thing going and rocking ferment and then done, you know, ferment it real hot and just produce all the ethanol and get the CO2 out, do it as fast as possible. Yeah. So homebrewer can do that by, I think the firm wrap is a great way to do this. And with a temp controller, and you can bump your saison up into a pretty warm fermentation conditions. Yeah, it seems a little bit weird, but you can go up into the 80s with this strain. Wow. I wouldn't start doing that if you've never tried the style before. Maybe stick with the pitch in the 60s and ferment in the low 70s is a good starting point. But one of the reasons why this strain is so hard to work with is it conks out for a lot of people about 3/4 of the way through the fermentation and doesn't finish out. I think that keeping this yeast warm is one way to really help combat the problems that people run into with this with this conking out. And then the O2 requirements fit into that problem, I think, as well.
And the nutrients you mentioned earlier too, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to do the battle in fermenting, fermenting your saison. So make sure you give it all the, you know, stack the deck in the best way possible. One other thing too that's worth mentioning when thinking about yeast and pitching for homebrewers and even commercial brewers for that matter with this style, I think that you considering yeast health and yeast flavor being so important for this style, it's really a great style to think about trying repitching if a brewer's never tried repitching. You could do a really simple table version of a saison and then save that yeast and repitch and make a standard 5-6% version of a saison. And then as you're building this cell count, building this health in your yeast, then maybe try a super saison as like a final repitch of, in a series of 3 different saisons. I think that you'll really start to learn how this yeast can present itself differently in different strength versions of the style. So it's worth mentioning for people who would like to go so far as to try repitching. It's a cool style for that.
Well, while we're on the topic of fermentation, I know some saisons also have a sour or acidic finish. And how do you develop these sour flavors in the beer?
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing to touch on that. I'm glad you brought this up because if you look at historical saison, it was probably a lot closer to lambic production in what we've been able to observe historically. And there was a desired sour character that a lot of people have hinted at or documented to some degree in producing a saison historically. So as a nod to historical saison, you think about those guys keeping their saison in unpitched wooden barrels. They were probably getting Brett, Lacto, or Pedio in the beer. And I've encountered...
And those are just... One more time. I know you've talked about them in a previous episode, but you want to just explain what those are?
Brettanomyces, a quote unquote wild yeast. It's more than that, but that's one simple way to put it, which is found on the fruits of many skin. Lactobacillus, being the classic organism that contributes to beers like, why am I blanking on it right now?
It produces lactic acid, right? Which is sour.
But the beer from Northern Germany, Berlinerweiss. Yeah, Berlinerweiss is a lacto-driven beer, and Pedio being Pediococcus, which is a critical microorganism for the production of lambics. But those three organisms could potentially contribute to an interesting complexity and a creative version of a modern saison where we would consciously add those, whereas historically they might just happen to get them or blend barrels that had those qualities to get a little bit of sourness and refreshing, kind of driving that refreshing character in the beer.
So how does a home brewer add these flavors in the fermentation?
Lacto being done in the beginning of fermentation, lactobacillus was very low tolerance to lower pH in the presence of hops. So it would be tricky to add it in a, it would be tricky to get a good lacto quality going in a highly hop saison. That may be one variation where you'd want to blend, a very low hopped saison perhaps, or a no hopped saison that was had a big lacto presence. And you can buy lactobacillus cultures from the various yeast producers to do this. But yeah, it's worth keeping in mind that for that classic lacto driven sourness, you'd want to use low hops or no hops to drive that. And then mm-hmm. for, and that would happen at the beginning of fermentation, ideally. Right.
And the other two?
Brettanomyces and Pediococcus, those would develop during a more elongated fermentation, perhaps a very long fermentation where you had the presence of maybe oak that had that harbored both of those microorganisms, or you would added them intentionally. You can buy them cultured from the various yeast producers. It's worth mentioning too, though, if you want to work with those that you could potentially, or even lacto for that matter, and you've never worked with them before, approach them with caution, though they can infect certain pieces of your equipment, especially anything porous, tubing or plastic pieces or anything like that. And do a little bit more homework about how to approach a Brett lacto or pedio beer before diving into it. But in limited quantities, it can create some really interesting complexity for a saison. I encountered various saisons that had influence of Brettanomyces and lacto a little bit at the Great American Beer Festival this year in Denver, Colorado, where I think a lot of modern saison brewers, especially a few in Colorado, have taken to this idea of producing a saison with a significant sourness or lacto or Brett or pedio type of character. So seek maybe one of those commercial examples out too if you've never tried one and you're thinking about ways in which you could do this. And I know, Brad, I remember you mentioning this too in your previous blog posting about on and the little bit of sourness that they can have sometimes. And historically, there was goose or lambic blended into saison to really build sourness. Yeah, maybe not a lot and maybe not all saisons, but it could be done in some circumstances, or it was done, I should say, in some circumstances historically, to give the beer a little bit of acidity. And that might be an interesting way that a home brewer could blend this in too. A lot of home brewers are experimenting with lambics these days, I know, and that would be a cool variation in spiking your blended saison with a little bit of that to get this effect
I want to mention also, I just pulled it up on the web here, but you actually did a podcast with me some time ago now. It was back in, let's see, June of last year.
Yes.
Beersmith podcast number 17. We did an episode on Brett and sour brewing. So if you want to learn a little bit more about brewing with Brett or some of the other sour alternatives here, you could also go back to that podcast. You can find it at beersmith.com/blog and do a search for Nathan. You'll find it pretty quick.
Yeah, good point. And that was one where Drew Beecham had joined us too on mm-hmm. that episode, I believe. He is speaking of saison, he is a great creative authority on the style for homebrewers in particular, and is someone worth seeking out. He's written various things on saison, speaking of saison. But yeah, he joined us for that.
Yep.
About Brett and lacto type fermentations. It's worth going back to that for listeners who want more of that, for sure.
Mm-hmm. What role does water play in brewing a great saison?
Right. We touched on this earlier when we were talking about hops, and it's an important aspect of this style as well. Home brewers and commercial brewers who want to approach saison, think about using water that's fairly high in sulfate, perhaps 100 parts per million or more. And the easy way to do that for people is to use gypsum, calcium sulfate. And if you know your local water, you can adjust using Beersmith, using a benchmark, your local water, plug that in there, and then pump up the amount of gypsum that you would add to try and target about 100 parts per million or more. You're going to perhaps have elevated levels of carbonate to 350 parts per million bicarbonate as well for some of the most traditional versions. But for people who just want to keep it simple, I'd say shoot for just upping your sulfate levels, or making sure that your existing water has sulfate levels that are that high. I think it's kind of interesting to think about brewers like Tommy at Port Brewing, or Pizza Port as it was at the time, with his SPF series of saisons, when he was sort of reintroducing a lot of American craft brewers to that style. Southern California and San Diego water is pretty high in sulfate, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's one way in which, you know, that would help in brewing the style in that region. So it's kind of cool to think about an American take on that, you know, Southern Belgian water as well. Historically, though, well water is also used with this style, and some people have reported that, you know, maybe a very slight metallic quality to the water may play into historical saison for an authentic variation of the saison, but that wouldn't be something that I would consciously add to a beer. But if you have well water and you're working with water that has a slightly metallic quality to it already, that may not be a bad thing for a beer like saison. But yeah, hardness is critical to driving that that impression of a nice clean hop bitterness and an impression of an elevated hop bitterness. So yeah, that's
You mentioned adding gypsum. I want to caution people a little bit. It's worth doing the calculation, because typically only you're talking about a few grams, less than 10 grams in often cases. And I've seen some cases where people went a little bit overboard with the minerals. So,
oh, that's a really good caution. Yeah. And on that note, you should add, you're going to get a good bang for your buck in adding gypsum to the mash as well. If you're looking for it to adjust pH to some degree, if you're already adjusting your mash for
pH. You know, when you're working with something like Pilsner, you don't get, your pH is typically going to be high. So you need something to bring it down.
Yeah. So it's kind of perfect if you're doing 100% pills and keeping it simple. You add a little bit of gypsum to the mash. And I think that, you know, you'll find it helps you in both ways. You can add gypsum to the kettle as well. And it might be, Gordon Strong is always recommended this to me for in brewing hoppy beers, and I think he's right. Even if you're adding gypsum to the mash, considering adding a little bit to the kettle as well to sort of get two different sides of driving that sulfate in the beer.
Well, I recently wrote an article on the blog for about Smash, which of course is single malt and single hop brewing, and saison is a really popular style for Smash, and so I was wondering if you could just talk for a moment about Smash and how it fits in with saisons.
Yeah, this is a cool idea. I'd recently only become aware of this, and I think it's really interesting one to think about for saison, because you have a various hop varieties in the U.S. that are sort of noble derivative hop varieties, and it would be cool to experiment with those in the context of a Smash saison. You have a lot of flexibility on grain bill. I'll get to that in a minute, but if you think about these noble derivatives that are in the United States and grown in Yakima Valley, like Glacier or Liberty or Santiam, which is a U.S. Tetnang derivative, or Sterling, which is a U.S. Saaz derivative, or the Vanguard and Mount Hood family, which is sort of a Hallertau derivative. Those are ideal for brewing a saison and not straying too far from a lot of the classic ingredient choices. So let's step away from 100% pills for a minute. And you could do, wow, what would 100% Vienna Smash Saison with Vanguard taste like? I think that would be really good, actually. Or maybe Canadian malted 100% pills. That would be kind of a cool, more North American variation, you know, with maybe a hop like Sterling. Or how about let's go a little bit more, you know, stray far from the common path and 100% Maris Otter with something like a Sterling or Glacier or something. That could be a really cool Smash saison. But yeah, it'd be tough to do something like a really rustic Smash saison with 100% rye. That would be really, it'd be to go past 20 or 30%, although in the spirit of saison you kind of almost want to try it, but it would be a recipe for a pretty badly stuck mash, I think.
Yeah, I think I know some people do, you know, Rogan beer, which is a German rye beer, up to 50 plus percent. But I think at 100%, you start to have other issues. So
I'm not even sure
you got the enzymes you really need, but I'm sure it's been tried.
You know, if you want to go high, add Riesels. But yeah, if you're doing Smash and trying to do something rustic, you'd probably be once again blending malt and not really doing the Smash thing. But yeah, it's a great style for experimenting with Smash stuff, or even think about maybe a smash saison, like 100% Vienna and Citra or something. I don't know. That might be really cool too. So yeah.
It's, yeah. I mean, the whole idea between the single malt, single hop is to bring out that single flavor off the, you know, get a real strong idea what the flavor of the malt is and a real strong idea what the flavor of the hops is. And, it's also just a great way to experiment. A lot of people do really small batches, just to experiment and get a feel for what the flavors really are that they're working with.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one reason why the smash thing is such a cool idea and it's been so popular. I guess a caution of what might not work on the hop side for smash, and thinking about the hops that I've worked with before, it would be tough to have maybe a pine or resinous forward hop as your saison hop. And the reason why is that it may conflict with the yeast. And when I say pine or resinous, you think in hops like Simcoe,
yeah,
or Chinook or Columbus, they really have a way of bringing phenols to the forefront. Even though this classic you use for this style don't have a lot of phenols, all of a sudden you'll notice that those hops might clash with the yeast a little bit. So I would, not that to say it wouldn't work, because somebody might have a magic combo that would be amazing, but those would be really a lot tougher to do with a saison yeast. Yeah.
Well, Nathan, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Fans of this style really should check out Phil Markowski's Farmhouse Ales book. A lot of the tidbits of historical knowledge and the things that I've noted about ingredient choices have come from that book. And that was published by Brewers Publications, I believe, about 5 to 7 years ago or so. It's an excellent book on saison. It talks about Beer de Garde too, which is the...
Is it still in publication? I'll put a link to it.
Still is. And I think that people who really dig saison should check that out, as well as Drew Beecham and Zymer G, Vol 34, number 5, which was last summer of 2011. He wrote a great article that characterizes different saison yeast strains and goes into some cool creative variations and how they try different ferment temps and stuff like that. So seek that out as a great data point that follows up on some of the things that I was mentioning and hinting at before. And American brewers are doing some amazing things with this style. Consider checking with your local brewery. They may have started producing a saison, or maybe new breweries doing saisons. Like I'm thinking of Upright Brewing from Portland that does almost exclusively, if not all exclusively, saisons, which is making some amazing beers, as well as Funkworks in Colorado doing some beers sort of inspired by saison, and Crooked Stave as well. Just amazing, interesting variations on the style. So check those out and give it a shot. But it's a really fun style.
Well, Nathan, I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate you inviting me back for episode 50.
It's good to have you back. I hadn't realized it hadn't been quite a while since you've been on, but I hope we'll have you on a lot more. And
thank you.
Again, my guest was Nathan Smith. He's a nationally award-winning homebrewer, and he's a frequent guest on the Brewing Network. Well, a big thank you to Nathan Smith for joining us this week on this very special 50th episode. I'd like to remind you to sign up for the newsletter at beersmith.com, or you can leave feedback at beersmith.com/blog or on discussion forum at beersmith.com/forum. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great brewing week.